Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, October the 16th, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're going to be reading from the Big Book, and we're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 53. We'll be reading and commenting on the second paragraph that begins When We Became Alcoholics and ends What Was Our Choice to Be? Today's readers for the 12 Steps, Marianne H., the 12 Traditions, Patty F., readers of the text, Vanessa G. and Abby D. Our newcomer greeter is Kathleen W. Our second hour host is Eileen M., and announcements will be given by Kathy S. this morning. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, October the 15th, 2024, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,829. That's 21829. And for the 10 a.m. meeting, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,830. That's 21830. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Marianne H. to please read the 12 steps.
Marianne H., compulsive overeater, New Jersey. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made the searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed, willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass and thank you very much for your service.
Thank you, Marianne H. And I'll now ask Patty T. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. This is Patty T. from New York, compulsive overeater, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. OA groups ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me read, and I'll pass back to Lisa.
Thank you, Patty F. Patty T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. In the chapter, We Agnostics, we're on page 53, the second paragraph that begins, when we became alcoholic, and ends, what was our choice to be? And I'll ask Vanessa G. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, everyone who makes this meeting possible. My name is Vanessa G., and I am a recovered compulsive eater in New Mexico. When we became alcoholics, crushed by a self-imposed crisis that we could not postpone or evade, we had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. What was our choice to be? So I hope I make some sense this morning. There's so many thoughts going through my head, but I looked up the word crisis, and one of the definitions is the turning point of a disease when an important change takes place, indicating either recovery or death. So here, not only are we, or not only was I in crisis when I got to this point, it was a self-imposed crisis. The disease was a self-disease, a suicidal disease, if you will. Myself had turned on myself, and all of my thoughts, all of my actions were geared towards killing myself. Going against every natural instinct, every, you know, God-given will to survive, I was killing myself. And there was no escape from that because it was arising out of myself. There was a line in one of our literatures a few days ago, and it says, I am with myself every moment of every day. There is no escaping myself. By myself. And in a few pages, the book is going to tell us that the root of our problems is our selfishness, our self-centeredness. And there's no room for any type of higher power, any type of God-centeredness there any longer when I'm at this point in my disease. So the decision must be made. Am I going to continue this way? Am I going to continue listening to myself? Am I going to continue looking for myself, looking into myself, by myself, and just for myself in the answers? Or am I going to look elsewhere? Am I going to look to a higher power? Is God going to be my salvation? Is that what's going to release me from self? This book promises me that it will be if I take that leap. You guys on this line have promised that to me. If I take the steps that you've taken. And it turned out to be true. So this was the turning point of my disease. The other definition for crisis is a time when a difficult or important decision must be made. I am so grateful I made the decision to follow in your footsteps and to take those 12 steps as you explained them to me, as outlined in the book, towards a higher power, towards what is everything to me today, towards recovery. And I really appreciate the opportunity to share. And I pass.
Thank you, Vanessa G., for getting us started. And although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on any of the Vision meetings on Monday or Tuesday, we ask you to hold back. Who would like to share on what was read?
Karen Casey. Rachel K.
Good with us.
Katie G.
Gotcha.
Jane S.
I heard R. Did I hear Jane?
Yes, Jane S.
Jane F.
Reva P.
Reva.
Hana Yetta R. Sigrid
okay.
F.
Hana Yetta R. Okay, I heard Sigrid, and then there was somebody else, Sigrid. Who did I miss? Okay, let me tell you who I have, then you can tell me if you said your name already. Karen K, Rachel K, Katie G, Rifka, I think Jane F, Reva P, Hanietta R, Sigrid F. Did I miss somebody?
Janice PM.
Thank you, Janice. Okay.
You're welcome.
Great lineup. Karen K, you're up, followed by Rachel K.
I think it was Kelly G that was first, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Okay. So it wasn't Karen K. Okay. All right, Kelly, you go right ahead.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Kelly G, recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. This is so appropriate with where I'm at, and there's no coincidence, right? How often do we read something in the morning or when we make an outreach call and the person that we spoke with says exactly what we needed to hear, God is or God isn't, right? So it's always that fork in the road that I see in the big book that I can choose to go on to the bitter end or I can choose spiritual help. And it's so much more comfortable to go on to the bitter end, knowing that this is as good as it's going to get. So it's a known thing versus the unknown, right? Possible happiness, possibly a better life, possible freedom, but no guarantee. And so what I love is I chose that path. And with that path comes things that I could not even imagine. So for example, I remember first getting abstinent and I wanted the food more than I wanted to breathe. And I remember making a call to a fellow who said, you know what, Kelly, if you can make it until 10 o'clock at night when you rest your head on that pillow and you wake up in the morning and the urge is gone, amazing. If it's not gone, then you can pick up and eat. And God is in that moment because guess what? If I knew I only had to make it till 10 o'clock at night, I could do that. I could do that if I was promised the pain would go away. And God is, meaning that I woke up and the pain did go away. And it wasn't the person on the phone that was abracadabra, you know, you're not going to have any urges. It was the person on the phone that was God speaking through them. God is. And that was my choice. And whenever I choose that God is, my life is so much turning everything over to God is that it is not immediate. That is what I struggle with the most, is the immediacy of it. And right now, it's like my life is so big, but it came with so many opportunities of disappointment that I didn't get what I wanted in the time that I wanted it. And here I am to say that God is always my choice to be, because up to my own devices, I know exactly where I end up in misery, self-loathing, loneliness, anger, fear. None of those qualities are what God would ever choose for me. So today I choose the path of faith, of God. And I also want to say a caveat that, yeah, there are some times that I decide, I dabble with my toe in knowing in my will, right, in what God is in. I know what that is. But today I have the instincts to know, you know what? We got to reroute the GPS, Kelly, because you are going the wrong way. So I'm grateful that God knows when it's time for me to make a detour. Have a beautiful day, everyone.
Thank you, Kelly G. And Rachel K., you're up, followed by Katie G.
Thank you. Hi, this is Rachel K., compulsive overeater from Indiana. And thank you, Vanessa, for starting us off, and Kelly for that awesome share. And yeah, the last line in this sticks out at me because it says, what is our choice to be? And, you know, up to this point, you know, this is step two. And so up to this point, we're doing step one and we find out that we're powerless over food. My life is unmanageable. And it sounds like, okay, I'm powerless. I have no choice in anything. I have no agency. Nothing is up to me. This sucks. And thank God that step one is followed by 11 other steps where I have a choice. And the first one comes here. It's, what is our choice to be? And, you know, and I've heard people say, you know, I don't know. I just can't, you know, wrap my head around a God, or I can't, you know what? I can make a choice. Does that mean acting as if sometimes? Maybe. Does that mean maybe I'm going to be wrong? You know, because I know in a lot of circumstances, I was like, no, intellectually, this does not make sense. So if I end up being wrong and I choose to make God everything and I end up being happy, but wrong, like I kind of don't care because I'd rather be happy than right at this point. If I am face down in the food, suicidal, like I was, you know, by the grace of God, many 24 hours ago. So I get to actually make a choice. I have a choice here. I'm not powerless over this choice. I'm not powerless over, maybe powerless over the food, but I'm not powerless over saying, yes, I will make God first in my life. I will make God everything. And you guys have probably heard me say this before. And what does it mean to make God everything? I think in mathematical terms, it means making God 100%. God is either 100% or 0%. I cannot make God 99% and make what my boss thinks of me 1%. I can't make God 99.5% and make, you know, how I look or the stupid thing that I said on that meeting the other day 0.5%. No, that has to be 0%. God has to be 100%. I've got to put, you know, the old metaphor of, you know, if a Coke costs a dollar in a vending machine, I can't put in 95 cents and get a Coke. I have to put in a dollar. So yeah, God has to be 100% in my life or he's nothing. Anything else I put before God, I am making that thing my higher power. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. Everybody have a great day and I'll pass.
Thank you, Rachel K. And Katie G., you're up, followed by Rivka R.
Good morning, Lisa. Good morning, everyone. Lisa, thanks for taking the meeting. This is Katie G. in Boston. And what did it mean to become an alcoholic? Like, I know I heard early on in the meetings, oh, there was a line that crossed over and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, what I heard about 12 years ago that helped me to become an alcoholic is I learned the exact nature of my disease, right? So I am powerless over food, ingredients, and behavior. So I lack power 100%. And the greater aspect of my disease is in my mind. I think it's so interesting, again, that only the first part of step one, section A, is about getting abstinent. The rest is about treating the main issue in my disease, which is my thinking. And this self-imposed crisis, what does that mean? It means that external circumstances are not putting me into crisis. It means that I am. It means that my thinking, my reaction, my interpretation of life, I'm addicted to negative thinking. I am addicted to drama. I would rather be, you know, face down in drama than have nothing going on. These self-imposed crises that I bring on. And I have to say, like, loving this paragraph, used it three times in different spot check inventories yesterday as a recovered woman. Why? Because I still go out when I have an internal problem. Recently, I had the opportunity to go out really far, and I went and I had a change made, and I thought that the change would help me. And what I learned is, A, I am powerless. B, no human power. That human powers fail me over and over again. And unless I have an entire psychic change, unless God is everything, nothing is going to change. Every diet I went on, every surgery I went through, every exercise plan I did not help me to fall in love with this body that I've been walking around in for 46 years, right? The only thing that can help me sink into my skin is God. Why? Because God reminds me, I'm God's girl. I am God's daughter. Nothing and no one can separate me from his light and his love. And everything that's happening is not happening to me, it's happening for me. I'll wrap with this. It may be a tragedy, but God is with me. If I just open my, if I just take a breath and turn towards God, he will sprint back towards me. Thank God we can choose God today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Katie G. And Rivka, you're up, followed by Jane F.
Hi, good morning. It's Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. And thank you, Lisa, for your service and all the amazing shares. I'm just taking all these notes like, whoa, so powerful. And this paragraph is the most powerful and life-changing paragraph. It also proves to me how incredibly divinely inspired this book is. Because if I am crushed by a self-imposed crisis that I cannot postpone or evade, I would not come up on my own with the proposition that God is everything or else he's nothing. Like, God wouldn't even be in the picture. If I'm in a self-imposed crisis, I would either eat or blame someone. So here's such a deep mystical truth, like so profound. How did they come up with this, that God is everything or he's nothing? Like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, I feel like a something. Other people feel like a something. Like, what does it even mean that God is everything or he's nothing? Like, could it be that I'm in a self-imposed crisis because I'm the one in a virtual reality? Like, and the real reality is that I'm a godly emanation and others are godly emanations and the whole world is a godly emanation and my ego, which seems so real to me, is the illusion. And if God is the reality, how would I think? How would I act? Like, it's mind-boggling. But it works. Like when I'm stuck, I've actually said these words out loud verbatim. Either God is everything or he's nothing. What is my choice to be? And 100% of the time, 100% of the time, when my choice is that he's everything, and my life just works. So I want to share that, like a stunning thought that God dropped in my mind last week, which also shows me how divinely inspired these 12 steps are. This whole month in the Jewish calendar is full of holidays. There's like three major holidays. And this is what I realized, that the first one is Rosh Hashanah, so which literally means the head of the year. It's the foundation. And Rosh Hashanah is steps 1, 2, and 3. I am powerless. I can't. I need God's help. I surrender my will and my life, my thinking and my actions over to the care of God. That's the foundation. And the second, which just passes, Yom Kippur, which literally means a day of atonement. And that's steps 4 through 10. Like I acknowledge all the ways I disconnect, how I ignore the truth of my creator, all my self-delusion. And the last holiday, which starts tonight, lasts for 8 days, is Sukkot, or some people call it Sukkot, which is, it's called the time of our joy. So joy, what is joy? Joy is when I'm in loving connection with myself, with others, with God. And this is a time where we're enwrapped in God's love, and that's steps 11 and 12. So once I admit my need for God to restore me to sanity and acknowledge what's blocking me from my creator, then I can truly experience the joy and love of connection and unity and service. It's just such a godly, amazing way of life. And thank you all for being there. And have a wonderful, blessed day. I pass.
Thank you, Rivka R. And Jane F., you're up, followed by Reva P.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jane F., is in Sparks. And thank you for everyone's service and everyone's shares. And everyone's shares for the last, I don't know, 8 or 9 years that I've been on this meeting. All I can say is thank you. Thank you for everything I've heard. And my disease has been progressing in me for my whole life, and especially in the last 15 and a half years that I've been sober from alcoholism. And now I'm sitting here today, this morning, in absolute awe. God is everything for me today. My belief in God today has been, it's been totally, God has been convincing me the last 13 days of my life here. I've been on an amends journey down here to Florida, and God and I walked through a hurricane. We walked through my ex-husband's house flooding, and we're walking through his stage 4 cancer. And you know what? Every day I just, how is God everything for me today? I turn everything over now instead of hanging on, you know, to some things, you know, and you know, I love this thing about, you know, 95%. I can't just let that 5%, I can't hang on to that. I have to let everything go. And I've been letting everything go in the last 3 months that I've been in this step work, and it has been absolutely extraordinarily miraculous. You know, so what did my week look like this week? It was up and down and all around, and I'm back in a place where I used to live, so I'm going through tremendous emotional stuff. And but every day, you know, my time with God in the morning is precious. My readings, I make a plan of action. My food, I don't resist making the food plan anymore, or actually any of my food. It's just beautiful. I'm getting ready to fly out today, and I've weighed and measured my food. I've packed my food. I've have a plan. I've spent my quiet time with God. Here I am now with you guys, and it's like God just shows me day by day, moment by moment, evidence that he has me protected and cared for and loved for. And so for that, I know that I have to work for that. My work, my honor and my respect back to God is to do this work. And I'll end with this. The gift that I've been given is I'm abstinent today. I'm sober today. And last night I was able to spend time with my son, my youngest son, whose dad is walking through stage 4 cancer. And it's, I don't know how it looks. I would be remiss to say I really knew. But we were able to get together last night, Doug and my son DJ and I, for the first time in our adult life. We were together because of this disease of addiction and alcoholism. All three of us were sober, and Mom was abstinent from her compulsive overeating as well. And we just spent time together for 2 hours, and it was the greatest gift I probably could ever be given on this earth. I don't know if I'll ever see him again. My son, yes, hopefully, but my husband, I don't know. But that's okay today. It's okay. I have a peace about me, and that's been given to me by God. And all I can say is thank you, God, for everything. And thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Jane S. And Reva P., you're up, followed by Hanietta R.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. When I became alcoholic, well, I never had heard the word compulsive overeater until I came to these meetings. And when I became a compulsive overeater, when I learned that I have a physical allergy, but that the greater aspect of my disease, the ism, is that my mind tells me that it's a great idea to pick up the substances that I'm allergic to, which eventually can kill me. And when I realized that when I was abstinent, my mind was taking me back to the substances, and there was a lot of self going on. And when I did inventory and did the steps and realized how much self, you know, self-centeredness, self-seeking, that I'm living a life run on self, and saw the crisis, the drama that I can create. Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize this in step two. I just had to be willing in step two. But when I realized all that, yeah, every time I do the work in abstinence and clear the channel, I come to this question. I love how the big book gives me these ultimatums. There's always two. There's always two doors, either this one or this one, to be live an alcoholic, or to go on to the bitter end and like live an alcoholic life and kill ourselves, or live on a spiritual basis. Not easy alternatives. Which one do I pick? You know, do I choose God? Do I choose Reeve as well? There's always only two. And I don't realize that until I clear the blockages. But when I get to that point and I'm faced with this binary decision, one or the other, what does that mean that God is everything or God is nothing? It means either self-will and act on all the manifestations of self, the resentments and the fears, and the food gets louder, or do God's will. And you know, it's not always easy. And it's for every area of life. You know, do I do this? Do I do that? And for me, it always comes down to trusting either God has got this. Either God has got this, whether it's the abstinence and keeping the food down, and he's going to help me with his grace, or with whatever the situation is that I don't understand, that I don't like, or he doesn't. And those are my choices. And that's so simple and not easy, because I get really scared. But this is like, yeah, we trust anyway. We do God's will anyway, and trust God can and will always, always, as I hear on the line all the testimonies. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. And Hanietta R., you're up, followed by Sigrid F.
Sorry, hi. This is Hanietta R. from Texas. And recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in remission today. And I cannot, I'm blown away by all the shares that have already been given. I would like to add that I knew, I had no doubt that God was everything. God is everything to me. He has brought me from the piles of crap, sorry, to a productive member of society, a trustworthy woman, an Orthodox Jewish woman, and she's somebody that I love today. I admire myself. I know that might sound kind of egotistic, but for me, that's a miracle. What I would like to also, I'd like to say is that what my problem was, what I realized that my problem is still, is that I needed a way to remember that God was everything, and that I needed to to bring them into everything, especially in my marriage. You know, I just jumped if he said something I just didn't like at all, or even a little bit. I would jump, I would yell, I would say something that I regretted later. And I had to find a way. And it does say, now that I'm doing the nightly review, that I pause, or the morning, I pause. And I was like, how do I pause? Everybody keeps saying pause. I've heard pause all ever since I've been in program just about, and for many, many decades. But I finally came up with to be patient, assurance, have assurance, be unified, surrender and easy does it. Patient, assurance, unified, and surrender and easy does it. That's what I have to do. It's my little code now that I say to make me realize that pause. This is what I do when I pause. And to stop what I was going to say it, not open my mouth and insert my foot. Just trust that God is going to give me the words I need. But if I don't pause, then I don't get that. I don't get that. Then my stuff comes out of my mouth, and it's not usually very nice. And even if it's just to tell him how to do the dishes, you know, something he hates. But I have to stop. I can't do it. So my time is really almost up. I just want to say that it's a miracle. My whole life is a miracle. And I usually end with this. Just don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle is out there for you. If you're new or struggling, you have a miracle in your life too. Don't quit. Keep coming back.
John.
I love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Hanietta R. and Sigrid F. You're up, followed by Janice P.M.
Good morning, everyone. This is Sigrid F. Recovered in South Florida. And wow, what amazing shares today. I am awed in the power of this group and the power of the program and the power of our higher power, or higher powers, I should say. God is everything or God is nothing, and I tend to be pretty literal. So what does that mean, God is everything? And it took me some time in program to figure out what that really meant to me. And what it means to me today is God is a part of everything, part of me, part of you, part of the tree outside, the sky, the clouds, the everything I can see, and more, right? Bigger than I can imagine. And for me, my God had to be that big, because if God wasn't that big, my higher power wasn't that big, then I could understand it. And if I could understand it, then I wouldn't need God, right? I could do it myself. So God is everything or God is nothing. And I still, to this day, 10 and a half years into program and recovered, I still take back my will. I'm human. I'm not God. I never get to rise above that. And so there are times when I still unwittingly take back my will. What I will say is I realize it. All of a sudden, my life is getting unmanageable again. I'm not quiet between my ears. I don't have sanity. And sometimes I even know, okay, I'm not trusting God, but it's so hard to give it back and to give it away until the pain is big enough to give it away. But I guess that's part of program. I never get to not be human. I never get to be God. But God is always there. And how do I know that? Because every time I fail, or I guess it's not failing, right? But I'm imperfect. So every time my imperfections crop up, then I have an opportunity to turn things over to God again. And every time I've done it, I've regained sanity. The answer to my question comes clear, or I'm comforted through the feelings I don't like. But God proves it to me. Sometimes it's hindsight. Sometimes I don't know for a very long time. But I ultimately know either immediately because I'm quiet behind the ears, or later, oh, that's why. That's why it needed to be that way. So I think with that, I'm going to pass, wishing you all a blessed day.
Thank you, Sigrid F. And Janice P.M., please share with us.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa H. My name is Janice P.M. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. You know, I'm listening to all these beautiful shares, and I don't know, but they sound like they're recovered. Now, we're in step two, okay? And I'm thinking, gee, when I was at step two, I didn't feel all these things. Is something wrong with me that I don't have all these wonderful promises happening in my life? No, not yet. Not yet. But that's why it says in our steps that the second step says came to believe. And I'm one of those recovered voices just for today. Knowing that, boy, when I first came in, I wasn't like this. I had to really be convinced. I really had to be to concede to the fact. When did it happen that I became that I knew I wasn't a compulsive overeater? It took time. And in the meantime, I did relapse. So if that's what's happening to you and you're saying, gee, I wish I sounded like them. I wish those things happened to me now. Well, it says came to. So when we became, that's the first step, is when did I become really, really convinced that I was a compulsive and am, and will always be till I die, a compulsive overeater. Well, I don't know when, but I knew as soon as I ran out of ideas, I knew as soon as I was 100% completely powerless over the food, over managing other people's lives, of trying to fix you, trying to fix sponsors, all that stuff. But I wasn't, and I was hopeless. There was nothing else I could do to run my own show. I mean, that's when I said, boy, I am powerless. But I'm not powerless over my attitude. That I can change. But in my negativity, I can erase those negative thoughts when I become recovered. And I can try, you know, to do that and replace it with the God. But not at step two. I didn't do that. I just had a willingness because I didn't come to that yet. I didn't do the work that was needed for me to find that power, whomever you call, your higher power, because you're 100% powerless. And I say, I have my God is 99% doing the work, and I have to be 1% of doing my work. And that's going through these steps because I try to fix my food plans. I try to fix you. My life was unmanageable by me.
Time.
Yes. And with that, you know, I'm going to pass because, it's a crushed, self-imposed problem that I had. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Janice PM. And we are on page 53 in We Agnostics on the second paragraph that begins when we became alcoholic and ends what was our choice to be. We've got some more time. Who would like to share?
Jennifer C.
Kathleen W.
Jennifer, Kathleen, was that
this
Christina?
Is Jen A.
Oh, well, Jen.
Julie K.
Okay, hang on. I think Russ M. Julie K. Okay, let me tell you what I have. I have Jennifer C., Kathleen W., Jen A., Russ M., and Julie. I'm not sure of the first initial of your last name. Jennifer C., you're up. Okay. Jennifer C., you're up, followed by Kathleen W.
Hey, good morning, Jennifer C., recovered in Greenville. Can I be heard?
You're good.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, everybody. What a beautiful meeting. I'm so glad that we stick to the big book. I'm so glad that we stick to the big book. And, you know, Bill was so strategic, wasn't he, though? He was so strategic in the way that he put this all down for us. He was so sensitive to where people are actually at when they walk into these rooms. And so for someone who says, well, wait a second, I thought I didn't have to believe in God, right? You just told me that I could come up with my own conception of God. And now here's this paragraph that's talking about God as a he, capital G. And now I'm confused, right? Which one is it? God is a reality that I give myself to. I don't make the rules. I follow them, right? I surrender to them. So God is such a beautiful parent, perfect parent, that he knows exactly how to get us where we need to go. And as a child of God, right, sometimes I need to feel like I've got some choices. Sometimes I need to feel like I'm not pushed into a corner. And God eases me in to this relationship with him, where I finally surrender and I say, okay, I don't make the rules. God either is or isn't. I either have a creator or I don't, right? And if God is creator, then God can also save me. He can be my savior. And if he's my savior and wants to save me more than I want to save myself, he can also be a best friend, you know? And if he's a best friend, he can read my mind as a husband. And if he's also my husband, he's my provider. This book tells me, am I going to believe that God is the ultimate provider in my life, the employer that pays me or not, right? It's these radical ideas, these all or nothing. We're addicts. Our addictive nature doesn't go away when we come into this program. But what we're given is some new radical all or nothing, right? God either is going to be everything or nothing. So when I work with a sponsee, my job as a sponsor is to gently walk them to this place of this proposition. It's a plan, right? The proposition is a plan that's being laid out. So here's the plan. Are you ready? Yes, I'm ready. God. God's the plan. God's everything. God's the one that brought you here. God's the one that wants to rescue you. God's the one who has all the answers. Are you willing to believe that? Are you willing to believe that anything blocking you is your own pride and prejudice and it's not God? Are you willing to believe that? And when I say yes, and I am willing to give my will and my life over to the care, this love that saves me over and over again, all sorts of miraculous things happen in my life. And so what I would say to the one who is having that trouble surrendering to this all-powerful God, just know it's a reality. I don't write the rules. I just surrender. And that's all we have to do. And God gives us the willingness to do just that. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jennifer C. And Kathleen W., you're up, followed by Jen A. Kathleen, star one, we can't hear you.
Hi. Yeah,
there you are.
Kathleen W. from Illinois. Wow, this is a powerful meeting today. So many shares. That's really just very, very powerful. Just a little tiny paragraph. I was sitting yesterday in my prayer and meditation, and from time to time, when I start to look at myself and start to measure or compare myself to others, what I think the kind of life they're living, I get my focus off of God. Excuse me. When I look at my own imperfections, when I focus on those things, doubts start to come up. There's like an undercurrent of doubting about what God can do or what God is or is God. And that was happening yesterday as I was in prayer and meditation. And I just said, you know, God, I believe, help my unbelief, you know. admitting, yes, I have some faith and I have some doubt. And I don't know if doubting is so bad, you know. I had to look at that. But what it did is it made me look at what I was focusing on. But this thing about doubting, this paragraph and all of the shares today really was so helpful, because I'm seeing, yeah, sometimes I can doubt, but then I can make this choice in my time of doubting. And I did yesterday. Well, I have some doubts, but you know what? I'm going to choose to trust you, God, that you can do this work in me. And that's what this is about. It's not about us doing work necessarily yet at this point. It's first believing that God can do the work, and God do the work. And once I make that decision that, yes, I trust you, God, and I believe what you have for me is good. Once I do that, I can move forward. I was thinking about something that Michael Jordan said. Once I make a decision, I never thought about it again. And that really hit me some time ago when I was sitting on the fence about something. And it's happened in this program for me. Once I made that decision, give my will and my life over the care of God, it was a decision. And it wasn't necessarily emotional. I wasn't in some kind of spiritual, trance. I made a decision because I was in a self-imposed crisis that I could not postpone or evade. I couldn't stop what was going on in my life. And
time.
I made to trust God. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Kathleen W. And Jen A., you're up, followed by Russ M.
Good morning. This is Jen A. From Colorado, recovered by God's grace and mercy. Thank you that he saved a girl like me, and that it isn't just it. It's a miracle. And I love in this paragraph how it says, crushed by a self-imposed crisis, I can't postpone or evade. So when I first came into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, the food, the drugs, the pills, the potions, all of that, the exercise, the gyms, all of it was killing me. And that was my self-imposed crisis. That's how I managed my life. Because don't you know me, I'm the girl in pages 60 to 63 who's doing a heck of a good job, right? I was just reading that with the sponsee yesterday. I'm like, oh my gosh, it just brings it back. Like, this is who I am. This is who I am 24/7. And this self-imposed crisis, when I came to these rooms, you said that you had a solution. I saw that you were recovered. I saw that you handled situations that would baffle me till no end. And you were calm, cool, and collected and had peace and serenity in a meeting. Like, that kind of stuff blew me away. And so I thought, okay, if they have some kind of power backed behind them that's doing that, maybe I have that power. Maybe that power is there for me. So I love how it says that I got to make a choice. And you know what? I don't just make a choice coming into the rooms of All Readers Anonymous just about the food, because the food's been down for 7 years. The exercise, the pills, the potions, it's all been down. It doesn't call to me. It doesn't excite me anymore. There's no thrill I'm seeking off of any of it. But let me just tell you, there are other self-imposed crises that are going on in my life that I have to make a decision. Am I going to turn this over to God today? Am I going to turn my work situation over to God? Am I going to turn my situation over with my daughter over to God? See, it's a constant process for me. It's not that I'm just choosing to turn my will and my life, my thoughts and my actions over to God in step three. I got to come back every single time in step two and say, I believe that you can do it. I know there's this pocket of agnosticism deep down in my heart that's not letting you in, God. But when I do, that's when the miracle happens. And I just want to share this miracle is that, I was in my 9-step amends. I was doing all these great things. Life was heading in good directions. The 10-step promises were coming true for me in program the first 7 months. And then I got abstinent, and my boss called me into his office, and he said, I don't know what your deal is. He goes, but you're like a bull in a china shop. You're crazy. people are complaining about you. He's like, you got 90 days to figure this out. And I'm thinking, I'm in recovery. I'm doing the work. I'm holier than thou now because I'm doing these steps and I put the food down. And my boss, I'm thinking this to myself. My boss doesn't know. He's like, you have 90 days to figure it out, Jennifer, or we'll give you a letter and we'll help you find a job somewhere else. I left here. I wrote inventory. I prayed. I did the steps. And I'll just finish up because my time is almost done. Is that 90 days later, I came back, sat across the desk from that man, and he said, I'm going to give you the first word and the last word in this conversation. I don't know what happened to you, but you are a different person than you were 90 days ago. That's the power of God. That's letting God in on things that I couldn't control. That's what happens. It's not just about the food. It's about life and life circumstances and how we take this into all our affairs moving forward. And I've just seen so many things. I'm in this company for 10 years. Thank you, God, you gave me an opportunity to be light and love. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Jen A. And you'll be our last chair this morning, Russ M. and Julie K. I hope you'll hang around for the second unrecorded hour. Please join us for the second unrecorded hour immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, October 16th, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 21,836. That's 21836. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Abby D., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then. Abby, we can't hear you.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Hi, I'm Abby D. I'm recovered in Michigan. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.